The last tour we had done was Mishnah Hey, 546. Yeshua ben Prachia, let me hear closer. Yeshua ben Prachia ben Itayar Bailey Kibla, 546 Mishnah Hey. Yeshua ben Mishnah Bob, Mishi Yeshua ben Prachia. The Nitai Arbeli Kiblu Mayim, Yeshua ben Prachia and Nitai Arbeli received the tradition from the previous two, who were Yossi ben Yozer and Yossi ben Yochanan. Yeshua ben Prachia Omer, Asay lecha Rav, make a Rav for yourself. Find a Rebbe. Uknei lecha Chaver, buy a friend. Rebbe Donis Kalod on the Kasuchus and judge everybody favorably. Now, first of all, Yeshua ben Prachia is a very interesting man because he had an interesting disciple. You may know who his disciple was. He was the most famous hockey player in the world.
Wayne Gretzky.
Close. Yashka. Yeah, played hockey, you know? Yeah, got nailed into the boards. Yeshua ben Prachia. Yeshua ben Prachia. He also got Paymaster cross checking. Yeshua ben Prachia. And Nitai, Yeshua ben Prachia was the Rebbe of Yashka. The Rebbe of Yeshua. There are different opinions. How many Yeshua Nutzris there were? There's one of there are two people referred to as Yeshua Nutzri. There are all sorts of dating problems. The Gemara talks about him having the disciple who went off and then messed things up for everybody else. And Yeshua ben Prachia and Nitai Arbeli received the tradition. Yeshua ben Prachia says, Asay lecha Rav. You have to make a Rav for yourself. Very important thing in life. You have to have a Rebbe. Now, Rebbe is somebody who's going to give you guidance, somebody who can help you, because there are so many decisions that have to be made, and you are generally the worst person to make the decision because you have built-in biases. Right? What should I do? Well, I'd much rather do this than that. Okay, now I'll find a reason why I should do it, which is how many, or if not most, human beings operate. And therefore, what you need more than anything else is you need somebody who can at least give you a more objective perspective. That is one of the reasons why, by way of example, in the Torah world, when a guy's going out and you're trying to decide if you're going to marry the girl or not, parents are very much involved in the decision. Right, the more traditional the families, the more from the traditional family, the more the parents are involved in the decision. The parents, who is their kid going to meet? You know, they're involved in the decision of who is their child going to meet. And then they meet and decide if there's chemistry. But before any meeting takes place, the parents are involved, because the parents have a much more objective look. A young person loses their objectivity. You know, a girl could be easily deceived because the guy is all slicked up, and the guy can be deceived because of the girl's looks, and they lose objectivity, and they'll bend all the data to fit their predetermined wishes, right? And therefore you need to have somebody who guides you in life in general. For instance, let's say somebody's made an offer now, should I stay in yeshiva and learn Torah, or should I go back home and get on with my life, right? get on with my real life, right? This isn't the real life is out there where you can be involved in all sorts of immorality and drugs. That's the real world. Now, should I stay in yeshiva or should I get out? Well, there are very many built-in biases. You know, I'm really kind of restless there, and learning Gemara doesn't really speak to me. And I want, you know, nobody says a person should be reckless. Nobody says a person should neglect doing that which is responsible and preparing for a parnasa. Everybody's got to prepare for a parnasa. So that later on, when to prepare for a parnasa, that's very tricky. When to prepare for a parnasa is very, very tricky. And sometimes a person should do it sooner than they think, a person should do it later than they think. Therefore, you have to have a rab. I can tell you from personal experience, I was studying kolo, and at a certain point, the kolo was studying a certain subject, which I wasn't interested in studying. I wanted to study something else. But I also knew that what I wanted to study was more interesting. What the kolo was studying was probably more important. Right? And I was trying to do, I was doing somersaults to decide whether, you know, that I would like to study what I want, subject A, and Nicole was studying subject B. So I decided I better go ask an objective, neutral party. So I went to ask this detached party. And before I went, my wife said to me that I could only go and ask. This is years ago. It was probably is almost 20 years ago. My wife said to me, no, that's what I'm talking about. Something about, look at that. It's almost 20 years ago. And about 18 years ago, my wife said to me, the only way I can go, she'll only let me go in Anth if I promise to do what he says. So I didn't know what the issue was. I didn't know what the big deal. I said, yeah, but I'm going to Anth already, you know. So I went to speak to one of the leading mashgichim in Eretz Yisrael. Mashgich is like the spiritual advisors of the yeshiva. I went to speak, I made an appointment, spoke to one of the leading mashgichim in Eretz Yisrael. So he asked me a whole bunch of questions. He took character references and all sorts of references, like to my chavruta, to my parents, my rebbes, my rebbes, some of the people. He told me to come back in a week. I came back to him a week later. He said to me, you asked me if you should learn A or B. I say you should do C. C at the time meant leaving full-time study and getting involved in teaching, which was the last thing in the farthest thing from my mind at that point. It was not what something I wanted to do. And then out of the clear blue, he pulled that curveball on me. And the only reason I listened to him is because my wife made me promise. Which, had she not made me promise, I probably wouldn't have done it. Right? So I had no choice. I had to do it. Now, once he had, what did that mean? So people always ask, well, how did it work out? You know, some people, it's the best thing I ever did. You don't know the best thing, you know, the alternative is. But it's certainly the most responsible thing I ever did. Right? Because what you have to do is, you're not a prophet, and you have to go to somebody who knows you and knows life a little better than you do. And from what your perspective is always almost always a biased perspective. If a person has to have an outside objective observer who can give them guidance. So the first thing he says, Aseh l'charav. Uknei l'chachaver, you have to buy a friend. That means that in just a pure Torah perspective, if you have to pay for somebody to learn with you, there's a pay him. Right? But you have to pay somebody to be willing to learn with you. Now, a real friend is somebody who will help you to grow. A real friend is somebody who's willing to point out your flaws. That's what the commentaries say. A chaver is somebody who's willing to tell you what needs to be improved, right? Which most people are hesitant to do. So, selach a rav, you have to make a rav. Selach a chaver, the veidon is called adam lekapsuchus. You got to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Have they done it's called on the Kastapus? Now, the idea of benefit of the doubt, first of all, the connection in this Mishnah, why does the Mishnah write it here? Why does the Mishnah, of all places to say, giving people the benefit of the doubt, why would you think the Mishnah writes it here? How does the Mishnah insert that over here, give people the benefit of the doubt? Why does the Mishnah write it somewhere else?
If you're pointing out the flaws, you have to make sure it's really a flaw. It's not just you're misperceiving the situation.
What do you mean?
Like, if you're going to point out to somebody that they're wrong, make sure they're...
you mean if you're a friend. That's interesting. If you're a friend, you're speaking to the robber, to the friend. Very interesting. Very interesting. One of the ideas is that we're speaking to you. The Mishnah is talking about you're embarking on a selection process. You're selecting a rob for yourself, which we'll talk about in a moment how to do that. And you're selecting a friend. Now, you may be very critical when you go through this. Right? You should be critical. And you may decide, I don't want this guy to be my rabbi, and I don't think that this is the guy that I want to make my closest friend. Why? Well, my rabbi, I've seen flaws in him, I see flaws in this guy. Right. You see the flaws, we're not saying ignore the flaws, but judge him favorably for the flaws. Right? There's a dual judgment that's taking place here. Let's say you see a guy pushing in the lunchroom. You walk into the lunchroom, some guy's sitting there, and he's really... I was at a wedding last night. You know, they have these when you come late to the wedding, they put out, you know, there's like the kind of a cheap version of a schmorg. Where the invited guests sit at the table and, you know, sort of get the meal, and the later guests who come for the dancing, so they got, you know, the choice of a few, you know, you take them. So I'm sitting there, some guy loaded up his plate. He needed a crane to carry that thing. You know, he just loaded up, right? And so I'm watching the guy loading up, and the guy, you know, just went to town. So you judge a guy favorably, he could be hungry. When he was young, you know, he was one of 11 children, and they only put out 10 portions at every meal. You know, and it was the first comfort. You know, there could be a lot of reasons why the guy is doing what he's doing. Try to find, give him the benefit of the doubt. Don't ignore the action. The action is something that is already determined in my mind that it's inappropriate behavior. But don't the behavior is inappropriate. Why is it inappropriate? It may not really be his fault. And the fact that it's not his fault doesn't mean it's not inappropriate. Yeah, you understand. There's a line when you're judging people favorably. There's a difference between the action and the reason for the action. The judging favorably is really going on the reason, not the action. Don't it? There are certain times where the action itself, it can be, you drive past a Trace restaurant, you see a Jew in there, and a Jew's eating. He's eating grape. It's clearly eating grape. Now, it could be that he's got a sudden ulcer condition that he suddenly needed to eat, and it's life-threatening. That could be. That's the reason. Okay, but the action itself is objectively something that is normally wrong under the circumstances. That's what means the diamond calculus. If you're going to be looking for a rogue, if you're going to be looking for a friend, you're going to be putting people under the microscope. Now, I see a flaw in this guy's character. Let's take a rope. You're looking for somebody as a rope, somebody who can give you guidance in life. The first thing you should be looking for is a big Talmud Chacham, and the older he is, the better. An elderly Torah scholar is the best person you can get for a guide and a rope in life. The only problem is the younger a person is, the less life experience he has. The problem is that the older the person is and the wiser he is, probably the less time he has for you. Right? That was the problem, right? And then you got to really fight to get his time and fight to be able to get his you know.
Even the less time he's going to have with you. He's older, he's going to have less time.
No, you mean because no. We still don't know who's got more time and who's got less time. You know, the way people live, you know, sometimes the younger people got less time. You don't know who's got more time. Less time means he's got less time available simply because if he's good, probably a lot of people are trying to get him.
Right.
Right? Or he's busy, or he's got responsibilities, and so on and so forth. But the first thing you want to do, you want to find somebody who can guide you, looks like he's got his act together, and it looks like he knows life, and what he says, he seems to be making sense. He's talking sense. Usually you know it's sense, because if somebody says something to you that makes sense, you'll hear it. Even if you never thought of it, you'll hear it, and it makes sense. But you have to try to find somebody who can give you guidance, right? Now, let's say you see, I'll get to you in 1 second, let's say you see somebody who looks like, you know, this guy looks like, you know, he's a Rebbe, I want to learn Torah from him, I want to get guidance from him. And then one day you see him, he goes in that absolute rage, because somebody took his pen without permission. Right? You know, the guy's a big Torah scholar, you know, the guy's a big everything, but, you know, I think I could do better than that. Right, now, maybe he went into a rage because, you know, he was born with an incredible temper, maybe he went into a rage for, he was having a bad day, maybe he had a real bad headache, fine. But I don't want a guy who's going to go into a rage as my guide in life. So on one hand, he's not going to be my Rebbe. On the other hand, judge him favorably, he's probably having a bad day. You understand? Go ahead.
Is that more to find a wise person to advise you about life, or a person who could connect with you, understand you, and get a social connection?
Look, no, social connection, like, hey, bro, what's happening? No, not a social.
A rabbi who's closer to your age.
That's what I say. A younger rabbi, closer to your age is probably going to be able to relate to you better, or you'll be able to relate to him better on a certain level. But the advice that he gives you is not going to be the same advice as a person who's 55. Versus 40 is about a person 55 or 60.
Should be an emotional connection. Just be a question about
the emotional connection depends. There's certain the older and wiser the rabbi is, and the more experience he has, takes him about 3 minutes to know who you are and what you're all about, right? Because he doesn't have to know every single teacher that you ever threw something at in your life in order to get to know you. He can basically. I can see where you're. Guy can see where you're coming from. Get an idea of where you're coming from, right? I know where you're coming from. I know what there is to get to. I can know. If I don't know your exact background, I know about the background. For example, a guy would maybe make a guess that the guy he's talking to, well, this guy seems to be a Yeshiva high school guy. Maybe he didn't get along with his parents great. He got pushed out a little bit and had trouble with his teachers and ended up bouncing around a little bit and then eventually came back to Orsamat and decided, hey, you know, these guys look like they're a little more sincere, decided to start learning, and then the next thing, he seems to feel that maybe learning is an option that's not as bad as it used to be, and now he's not sure what his life plans are. Right? How's that for a guess? Right? Huh?
Okay.
A guess, right? No. Are there other details in there? And there are lots of other details in there. Right? Lots of other details. So a guy like that comes over and says, what should I do about this, that, or the other? Right? So a responsible here. Somebody asked me today. Somebody asked me for guidance today. I said to them, I can't guide you. I can't advise you on that. But I don't. I know my limitations. It's not my field of expertise. I cannot tell you what to do and how to deal with that situation. But the older and wiser person is, there's something, you know, there are people who are, I'll tell you a real chilling story. There are people who are judges of character. There are people who are character, they work for companies, for corporations. And they, you know, they're like personnel assessors. And some of these guys got some sort of intuition about people, right? A person who's learned Torah often develops that. You know, some people are naturally better with people than they are, but the more Torah you've learned, the more you can basically get it. There's a guy I know who was one of these guys who worked for a company. I knew him very, 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 you know, we knew each other, but, you know, just kind of, you know, we spoke, you know, hi, goodbye type of thing. Never really went. So I once met in the yeshiva. We're probably going back a good 10, 15 years. Probably about 15 years. We're standing in the yeshiva talking, and there happened to be a girl here in Israel who was studying in the seminary. And this, I was married already at the time. And this girl was studying in the seminary. And the guy was telling me that somehow we got in a conversation about this girl. And he said that, you know, she's looking for a shidduch. She needs something. She's looking to go out. And she went out with somebody but didn't work out. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. So I said to him, what kind of guy is she looking for? You know, what kind of character, what kind of personality is she looking for? So the guy says, well, I don't, you know, I think, you know, he looks at me and goes, something like you. My brother, he and I are extremely similar, had gone out with this girl a couple of years earlier. And she was still looking for him at the time. Right? And we're very similar. And I was just like, wow. You know, this guy nailed it. You know, out of left field. You know, he didn't even know me. He didn't even know, you understand? He didn't even know me, and he just kind of... So there are people who can do that, and that's without knowing a whole lot of Torah. Somebody who's a wise Torah scholar could generally see... So somebody just told me last night... All right, that's already, a little creepier. But there's so many times... That people, that might be a Ruach HaKodesh thing. But there's so many times that people know, even if they don't know any detail, they know more or less. And if he needs a responsible Baal Eitzah, we'll ask you for a few more details.
How do you find one?
False. Yes, they look around like this. You have to find somebody, like I say, you have to find somebody who's A, a Tamachachom. B, he seems, from what you hear, remember, God only holds us accountable based on what we judge. And we have to be in a situation where we have a chance. There's got to be a chance. God created us, that you're given a chance. The chance is that if you hear somebody talking sense, it makes sense. I've never heard anybody else in my life talking sense. This person seems to be talking sense. He's got a right take on the world. He's got people who he looks up to, our Torah scholars. He himself goes for guidance when he doesn't know. And he's honest enough to say, I don't know, when he doesn't know. Then you're on the right track. Right now, could there be somebody better? There might be somebody better, but the better person might not have enough time. You know, then it becomes a balance of, he's accessible. He's the best choice among those that are accessible. And that's the type of person you might gravitate to. And again, it doesn't have to be somebody that you become very close to a Rebbe. Generally, the way you get very close to a Rebbe is to learn Torah from him. Right? To be in a shir and learn Torah, then you develop a relationship through the shir. There are other people who you just come to out of the blue because you need guidance. That happens also. Right? So it depends. Well, all the Mishnah is telling you is, don't do it on your own. Because generally, anybody you ask is going to be better than you. Right. Anybody who has got a beard is generally going to be better than you. That's the rule. Right? That's the rule. Now, of those people, pick the best one. Pick the best choice. That's the Seder Harah. That's what he says. He's down the couch, says, you know, this guy, I don't like the way, you know, this guy kind of is a bit gruff, and this guy seems a little selfish. This guy seems a little into himself. There are a lot of characters. Nobody's perfect. This guy got a beard, doesn't make him perfect. And you just, you know, I can't take guidance from a guy who is just so into himself. For example, right? Okay, you gotta make that decision. I can't take guidance from a guy who's always blowing up. I can't take guidance from a guy who smokes. Guy's out of control. You know, for whatever reason, whatever your hang up is. I don't think it's a problem at all. I was asking that for an extra cigarette, you know, for a cigarette. You know, I don't think it's a problem. You put off by it, whatever it is. But the Mishnah is telling you, you gotta have guidance. There's so many decisions. The hardest thing in life is making decisions. The hardest thing in life is being objective. But what are responsible, sometimes they'll tell you what to do and what not to do. Often what they'll tell you is not what to do and what not to do. Often what they'll tell you is, they see the roles as clarifying the data for you. You are confused about the data. I will clarify that. I got to go to school. I got to go to start college. I don't go to college. Look, I'm not going to tell you that you go to college, you stay in the shed. Well, let's get one thing clear. You don't have to go to college right now. Because even if you go a year from now, you'll still be able to get your degree. You're confused about the data, right? Because somebody in the family is pressuring you to go to college, or you yourself are pressuring yourself, or you yourself had a bad day yesterday in learning, and therefore you're asking yourself, why am I doing this anyway? And who really cares whether or not the guy was on the field for 3 years or not? And then I start doubting yourself. And at that point, you say, well, I really should get on with my life and start college. I have to. And if I don't, then I won't be able to get any graduate school. Listen, I'm not telling you what to do. You'll be able to go to college. You'll get another year of credit here. You'll be able to get your degree. You'll be able to go to graduate school. You'll be able to become a lawyer. But get real. Maybe a year later. And in the course of a lifetime, a year doesn't really mean that much. Especially if you spend that year learning in gym. Just get the data thing. Now you decide what you want to do. I can tell you what to do. You decide what you want to do. That's one approach. The other approach is some people say, no, if you do that, you're going to mess up your life. And then there are certain people who, depending on what the question is. Depending on what the question is, that's sort of thing. Right. So, for example, the guy says, you know what? Should I go watch Monday Night Football? I'm in the zone, you should. I go, I got a big ace of heart for Monday Night Football. Should I go watch it or not? Now, who's the worst judge in the world is you. Right? Because you got a bias over here. You got a very vested interest in watching. Who's playing, by the way?
Philly wants Philly
down. Oh, yeah. Right. You got a vested interest, right? You got a vested interest, right? A good what somebody needs to do is explain to you what is watching football mean to you at this point in life. And therefore, I don't even have to know the person. All a person has to do is say to you, listen, if it's something you feel you need, and you're learning tomorrow and you come to yeshiva, you're going to be eating yourself up. Why didn't I go? Probably best to go. If you can push through it and overcome the Yetzer Hara and not go, and tomorrow you learn without kicking yourself, then you should really fight it. What will you do? Don't know. Now, you know, sometimes you yourself know better than anybody else how much is it going to hurt. Because something trivial like football for some people is very important. And therefore it's difficult for somebody who's not there. There may be a difficulty relating to it. But you got to have guidance because it's up to you. Yeah, I'm going. Why? I don't know. I'll decide when I'm there. Why? But I'm going. You understand? You're completely by it. Okay.